Hello, and welcome to Dicepox, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, the Frontispiece 4 deal with the widening scope of their conflicts and try to learn more about what they're up against. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
Hi, I'm Drew, and I'll be playing Cato Burke, a.k.a. Hecate, lawful good bookmonger, according to all available records.
Hello, I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Callisto Armitage, which, for possibly the last time, is officer to you.
Hi, I'm Dez, and I'll be playing Luke Byrne, hacker and creator of all those available records.
Hello, my name is Nick, and I'll be playing an android drone operator named Ing, and you can't stop me.
Don't know why we'd try. Thank you all. Let's get right into it. Our recap of last time is courtesy this time of Cal. Take it away.
I don't think I'll be seeing that damn shrink again, so I can't tell them that this whole thing might be working. Well, I guess I'll make this official for this board of it, even if this won't be submitted for review, even if no one but me will hear it. Officer Armitage log, badge number A41214. I know that badge number better than anything else. Carried it with me since you got that ciphers for kids book back when you still thought I was some kind of hero. Back when you couldn't sleep without running your fingers over my badge for protection. You thought the simple, straightforward alphabet to number cipher was too easy to crack, too easily revealing my kryptonite, which was always, will always be you. So in all your childish wisdom, you flipped it. 14-12-14. M-O-M. A reminder that this badge may be issued, be flashed to generate a sense of trust or fear, be pocketed, be turned in, be picked up again, but that other thing, what those numbers represent, it's permanent. Somehow more permanent than the stretch marks from when I carried you for 9 months, more permanent than the lines on my arms for carrying you for many years more, lost to the PSS enforced modifications. And burn in that terrible way that teens try to help but make it hurt tells me that I'm no one's parent. I'm getting ahead of myself. We regrouped in the basement with Apatia. Ing was afraid, rattled, almost as bad as the night I found him. I don't know how to tell him that he wasn't the only one who caved to darker programming. He disassembled a tank and thankfully avoided getting caught in any records that Burn couldn't erase, and I euthanized Lou. Unlike me, he saved lives and seems to have attracted Apatia's affections. I'm not sure if I fully approve yet, but I'd still take some terribly awkward homecoming photos if it came to that. I didn't have the heart to tell him or Cato what happened with Lou. Maybe I should leave that to Burn. He makes it, and that know-it-all tone of voice almost sounds sensible. I thought he'd hate me for it, for keeping the badge after what had happened, for seeking closure that will never come. He thinks some part of me wanted them all to hate me for it, for history to repeat itself and for me to drive away those smart enough to leave me. But that's not what happened. The kid hugged me, and the world didn't end. Cato continued to serve as a wingman, Ingman to Ing and Apatia, with pseudo-philosophical talks of disk partitions and DID, I almost regret calling them a naive optimist, though they're not exactly disproving it with their efforts either. I'm starting to realize that I might have to give the talk again. Surely there's a video or something I can put on a tablet and leave. Because it was only a matter of time before the basements were not safe, we departed to either the apartments to retrieve Hand or the frontispiece. Ing wants to have Hand replace one of his, and I support it, even though I don't fully get it. I left my family secure at the frontispiece to report back in and further conceal my crime, so I missed the news coverage of the protest. IMX has officially taken over the PSS, an acting AI-driven security run by only 3 personnel. So this might be my last walk with a badge, and with some pretty critical augments. But those numbers, I'll carry them with me, whatever comes next for me. For us.
I'm going to need a second. It is intimidating to start doing just, all right, here's where we are after the type of things you guys are putting together for the recaps lately. That's a great problem to have. Thank you, as always. And I think that in addition to being affecting, it was also effective. It was a great recap. It got all of the stuff we needed to get. So we had left off last time with Bronwy arriving at the frontispiece, but we're not going to pick up there right away. We will circle back to that moment. We're going to pick up instead with exactly where we just heard about Cal and their goings on. They had left the frontispiece once everybody was kind of in place to head back to PSS headquarters and report in, do a little bit of, alibi is such a loaded term, but, provide useful information to those who need to hear it and see what exactly is in store, as Robin implied. So, Cal, are there any steps you're taking other than the ones that just lead you across the portion of Selden District to PSS HQ? Is there anything you're trying to do in preparation or make sure is in place?
Well, I think I would send a quick text to my Revenant counterpart to make sure that all is well and, they were not among the casualties.
Yeah. You hear back very quickly. Tama reports that she herself not injured, little tear gas, but nothing too serious. Helped to get some folks who were knocked around out of the square before things got really bad. And she ends her response with, "Let me know if we can bring this to whoever needs to have it brought to them." Winky face.
I respond with a thumbs up emoji, and then after a beat, send "thank you, we'll be in touch."
The little grinning emoji comes back, seems like Tama's in relatively high spirits for somebody who got tear gassed.
It's impressive.
It's been a minute in recording timeline since we had Tama meaningfully on screen, so I'll just remind our listeners that this is a person who, to look at her would be less fazed by most physical discomfort than most people. Looks can be deceiving sometimes, but the first thing we meaningfully saw Tama do was drive a tire iron, I think it was, through an IMX drone, so probably not misleading in her case, just in case it's been as long for you, the listener, as it has for us, the players. Anything else, or are we ready to arrive at PSS HQ?
I'll probably also send a text in hindsight to the group chat asking how I should check in once all is well at PSS, or what time frame is wise to assume it is not well?
Chat?
If longer than 4 hours, .. Also, just check in by standard means. But, you know, while you're there, make sure you have your phone in official mode. That text then deletes.
I send a cop emoji.
Three pig emojis are the response.
I haven't seen the emoji movie. Is the cop emoji in it?
I honestly don't know.
God, what a cursed statement, Adam.
In my defense...
My nephew really, really wanted to watch the emoji movie and spoiled each surprise for me as we went. She's actually a princess, he said excitedly. that part was fun. It was one of the worst film-going experiences I've ever seen. The cop emoji is in it, but is not a major character.
Okay. Well, you know, small mercies, I suppose.
important information.
Five times more than you need to know about the emoji movie, or indeed anyone does.
We'll have bonus content someday. Film criticism with Drew featuring the emoji movie. In the meantime, any other input from the group chat before I rule that Cal has arrived at PSS HQ?
I think Bryn covered it, and then, you know, covered the tracks of covering it.
It's important.
All right. Yeah. Well, Cal, you emerge into the intersection in front of PSS HQ and see that it has been not cleaned, but cleared. So there's debris, but no people. In fact, no people at all. The entrance to PSS is, in fact, being monitored by IMX drones, this model being the ones that will be familiar to those who watched Tama destroy one with a tire iron. But there are half a dozen of them sort of scattered around the steps. And the nearest one wheels to face you as you enter the intersection and seems to compute something. And then displays a sort of like green background with a clearance granted message in white block letters in front of it. And it says in its auto-generated voice, "Callisto Armitage, please enter HQ."
I give a very half-assed, on the verge of being sarcastic salute before heading through the front doors.
You see just as you pass it that its screen flicks in response to your salute to the saluting emoji.
Oh, cursed.
It was only a matter of time before my emoji use came back to bite me.
To bite us all. So you ascend the steps. The station is not totally quiet, but quieter than you're used to. And yet, somehow not as quiet as some part of you expected it to be after everything that happened today. What activity there is all in sort of the front, not exactly a lobby, waiting area, processing area. Everything else is got the lights off and the little gate flaps closed. There are another half dozen IMX drones, these more various in their form factors, as well as what seem to be two maybe kind of assisting or secretarial employees, and a relatively solidly built man, middle years, with a somewhat like zhuzhed up high and tight haircut, not yet showing any gray. And as you come in, he turns to face you and says, "Ah, Callisto Armitage. Yes? Yes. Glad to see you. Glad you're all right. pause, he extends his hand and says, Sean Howard, I am X. Was hoping to see you today.
I shake his hand limply. He
gives you one of those unnecessarily firm handshakes with a really tight grip, and instead of like a casual couple of shakes, he does like two really firm like shakes that like try to ripple your arm back up into your shoulder.
I bite back a grimace.
If Cato were here to see this, they would probably know the specific books this guy has read that taught him how to shake hands.
I feel an itch on the back of my neck.
Releasing your hand, Sean Howard, yeah, just call me Sean, sort of sits back down behind what would have been sort of the reception desk before and says, it's a real mess out there today, real mess, but we've got it under control now. I guess there's no delicate way to say this. I hope you weren't too close to Mr. Tupper. He didn't make it.
He didn't make it?
Well, whoever lit up the station or one of their accomplices, we're still investigating. Well, they did a number on him.
I was chasing them. Appeared to be an android with a katana. Fancy LED lights. Pursued him through the basement until, unfortunately, they shook me.
Raises an eyebrow at you. Give me just a second here. I would love to get from you a cool plus corporate security role. I think that you also have a cab giving you a plus one on that.
Mm-hmm. And I roll with advantage as well.
I'm sure you're correct. Can you remind me where that comes from?
Ex-cop. Advantage in dealing with cops, and ex-cops are making deals with them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't always have the category right on where I'm looking for. So I believe, though, that's going to be 2d6 plus 2 for cool, 2 for corporate security, 1 for ACAB, and then advantage. So 2d6 plus 5. Plus and advantage. Then take the two highest dice out of your three.
That was a lot more math than I was prepared to. I actually rolled a 4, a 3, and a 3, so I'm going to take the 4 and 3.
Yeah.
And then add 5 to that, so that would be 13.
12, I think.
Oh, yes.
7 plus 5, yeah, 12.
Yeah, sorry.
You're fine.
I said it was a lot of math, and I meant it.
Well, the good news is that 10 million hit point planet is behind us. The ambivalent news is that Flying Circus is in front of us.
I did really enjoy 10 million hit point planet, though.
I suspect that you could have soloed that planet.
That's the closest that we have on this podcast to a math gay. Probably.
I have kept an eye out for future one shots that are equally breakable.
I love you for this, Drew.
You give your accounting, your rundown, Sean, Mr. Howard, you're not sure how you'd prefer to be addressed at this point. Sort of leans back and goes, well, I guess that's a good lead. If you could point us to the entrance to the basement, let us know where you lost him. That would be helpful. We do have camera, it would appear, of this particular figure fleeing the scene. Sean gives you like a considering look and he says, you know, we were supposed to make sure that all PSS equipment got checked in, as part of liquidation and stuff. But there's no way that it's all going to get accounted for. This has been too chaotic a day
PSS has too much stuff out. So I think in light of the assistance that you're rendering here, we're going to dispense, if you know, you're amenable to it, with the repossession of the augments. And all we'll really need is the badge, the uniform, the gun, and the taser.
I don't have a taser, Adam. I stole it.
He doesn't know that.
It's not on my person.
He doesn't know that. He is okay. Assuming that you have a taser.
Got it. Yeah. I kind of shrug a shoulder, I guess, and pop my badge off, take my gun, do a show of taking out the magazine and clearing the chamber, mm-hmm. and setting it on the receptionist. A little table, a little roughly.
Mm-hmm. He nods, looks back up at you semi-expectantly.
Never was assigned a taser.
Oh. Wow. Sure the records will show that. Not worried about it. If you got a locker, maybe, you know, clear it out, change into some street clothes. We'll get you taken care of today.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I'll go get my things.
He gives you a brisk nod with an attempt at friendliness in it and says, well, now I'll be right here to sort of finish your checkout, you know, get the specifics and, you know, maybe look forward to a more informal ongoing relationship. He gives you another firm nod.
Sounds good, Sean. Be right back.
Gives you a real life thumbs up emoji.
Oh,
what kind of fucking ongoing relationship would you ever want to have with a cop who has fired you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and this is of course not especially obvious, but while we're doing a little bit of character talk, he is the kind of person who does not think of this as a firing. The organization that you worked for has been dissolved. So mm-hmm. of course you don't have a job anymore. It's not his fault.
Truly an emoji who moves like a man.
So you go to your locker. No one else is back there right now, which strikes you as a little odd, but you can see lockers hanging open. It looks like a bunch of people did get their stuff kind of all at once, you know, as things were winding down in the intersection.
And there's no sign of people or surveillance.
You're pretty sure that there was a threat of a lawsuit a little while back if Tupper put surveillance in the locker room. So you're reasonably certain there isn't surveillance. Certainly there are no people and no drones.
I start to slowly, like I imagine I find a box and I start mm-hmm. to slowly remove things from my locker, but with my free hand, keep the phone in there mm-hmm. and text the group chat. Want access to PSS?
Yes.
Before like, the yes, you see me start typing, stop typing, start typing. Start
sparkly, typing. Like sparkly, like graphics on either side of the yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm clearing out my things, and that may involve a trip to Ramirez's desk. I don't think this guy knows any better.
Jazz hands.
Yeah, basically.
So I take off my uniform and probably ask for some instructions on how best to give access to a network remotely from a computer.
I give, like, step-by-step instructions aimed at one, like, intellectual step better than a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Probably appropriate. And I think I had a tablet, too, at one point. Or would I have, like, yeah. some degree of...
You at least have access to one.
Yeah, so I'll probably go and, you know, clear out that. I probably have pictures of some variety that I've kept on it that I want to keep for personal reasons.
Sure. Yeah, and, like, you're not being hurried along. And as far as you can tell, it's just you, the assistants, and Sean in at least the front of the building.
Terrible intrusive thought. Those are probably all three human employees of IMX.
Mm-hmm. They are, I imagine.
I mean, he was very clear.
I don't have my taser.
Three human employees. Let me get you to roll a clever for me, Cal. That's going to be 2d6 plus 3.
Okay. Nice. A 6 and a 4.
Nice. So that's a 13 total. And so you go to Ramirez's desk and act like you are gathering up, you know, your things, and in the meantime, you know, like logging out of your machine or whatever. And Burn's instructions are sufficient to essentially change enough settings enough for Burn to do the rest on the other side, coming in rather than going out. And it doesn't take you a hugely long time. It's actually, I guess I don't know how Cal will feel about it, but it could potentially to someone be kind of alarming how simple the changes are once you arrange access to those settings locally that allow access from the outside. And this is, of course, enough of an advantage that, Burn, I'm not going to make you roll hacking or ghosting here. Appreciate if it. You want to use this access for something intrusive, then we'll talk about it. But currently, you know, just establishing the back door, you have an insider.
Yep.
You know,
I am now a ghost in this machine.
I probably recommended to download as much as possible, too.
Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and say here that you've never used Ramirez's terminal before. You haven't really even like beheld his screen that much, you know, given that you're usually, you know, having a relatively friendly chat with him. You notice, though, that like there is a family photo as the desktop background of this that is not of Ramirez's family. It's like a stock photo or maybe a sourced photo, but it's like different people. Ramirez isn't in it. It's supposed to look like a wife and kids, but it's not his wife and kids. You know what they look like. There's a couple other like weird details here, you know, like in the personalization that like you double check, this is Ramirez's terminal, but like he seems to have customized the parts that he could customize in such a way as to suggest like a different private life for himself than the one that actually exists.
I mean, probably for the better, but interesting. Does he have any plants on his desk or terminal?
Absolutely not.
any like tchotchkes, like the decorations?
He has four differently like color coordinated Rubik's cubes of different sizes, three unsolved, one solved, and he has a small tower of polygonal wooden blocks that have different quasi motivational one word statements on them, like grow, learn. But the one at the very top is the only non-one word one, and it says give a shit.
I steal that one.
You have chosen wisely.
Spectacular.
Move on. Yeah.
Anything else that you are attempting to do before you sort of like head back to the front to wrap up here?
I think I just gather my things, ensure that Burn has access, and move back to the front.
Okay. As you come up, the assistants are like stacking document boxes in a place where Sean can get to them. And, he is, you're not sure, but the phrase that comes to mind when we look at him is looking busy on the reception terminal. Not sure what he could really be accomplishing there other than just seeming in charge. As he sort of, you know, hears you come up, he finishes whatever he's doing and turns around, and says, "Everything taken care of?"
Sure is. Hard to fit this many years in one box. My box is mostly empty.
Yeah. He does glance at it, but doesn't say or do anything. He says, "I can only imagine. It really is a shame what Tupper did to this outfit. It could have been, no. I guess that doesn't matter currently, but, you know, hopefully, you know, greener pastures are ahead of you. And, you know, as you can see, we're running a tight ship here personnel wise, but, you know, we can, could always use some of the institutional knowledge that I'm sure people like you have gained.
We can talk about my PI fees."
He gives you a sort of, what probably is intended to come off as a casual nod, but comes off as almost like a quarter limbo to one side as he sort of recovers from that. And he says, yeah, we'll be in touch. We have your contact information." He gestures at the terminal he's been working on, first order of business, of course, is to regain control of the district. And then after that, to sort of assimilate the, you know, kind of PSS files and information, but we'll be in touch, I'm sure. In the meantime, if there's anything that we here at IMX can do to help you land on your feet, we wouldn't want anybody to suffer unduly from Tupper's mismanagement, especially after he's passed.
PSS used to have really good bereavement coverage, and I am bereaved.
He gives approximately that little breathy laugh and then catches himself and goes, "Yeah, I'll look into it." He says that last part, looking at his assistants, who one of them pulls out a tablet and types something in and nods, and then goes back to what they are doing. He says, "In the meantime, go, take a hot bath or something. You deserve to really, you know, relax this evening after what you were put through today.
It's been a tough day.
For all of us, yeah."
"Well, I'll be seeing you around, Sean."
"Likewise, Cal."
I do grimace at that and walk out the door.
All right. So this is probably about the time that Bronwy is showing up at the frontispiece, that having overlapped some with the last few things that happened at the frontispiece last time, which involved Gorister getting ready to mount hand on Ing, and then Burn and Kato sort of catching up on the like coverage of the day's events station wide and things like that. So back in the back room of the frontispiece, you know, Burn, you have recently been
present.
Yeah, close touch with Cal back at PSS. But currently the big thing going is, you know, Bronwy arriving, bandage on her upper arm, looking like somebody who spent the day, you know, avoiding tear gas. A little bit downbeat for her, sort of said first thing coming in, "Well, that was a day." To which Gorister replies with an affirmative grunt.
At about this point, if it is coincident in time, Drew, who may be sufficiently attuned to this, there is some like particularly gremlinly giggling.
Bronwy goes, "Well, I'm glad someone's having a good time."
"He's having an extremely good time. Can I help you have a better one?"
"Well, I suppose that the things I most want right now are a place to sit down, a glass of water, and a glass of something dehydrating."
I think I can help you out all around.
Awesome, thanks. Hopefully the changeover, you've heard IMX is taking over, means that my place is going to be unsurveilled soon. But in the meantime, this was closer and I figured probably had a better stocked wet bar.
I can't say it's well stocked, but it'll get the job done.
I come back with probably a coffee mug containing water and a different coffee mug containing the increasingly mysterious liquid that I so recently shared with Qlex.
Yeah. Bronwy nods gratefully and takes a sip of the not water and then a sip of the water with a mug in each hand, sitting down on a surface that houses some of Gorister's work. He's not aware of it just now because he's absorbed with Ing and Apatia. And what's going on over there. Now, he hasn't started this operation just yet. He explained to you kind of all the steps and that for the first bit, especially until they can wire something else up, you're going to need to essentially infuse blood into the system from time to time to keep hand healthy.
Of course. Yeah. These fleshy bits require care and probably more so now that it's attached. Soon to be attached.
I inquire to the Fixer Network through very secure channels as to where one can get blood, and I say that, yes, I can explain.
Now, this isn't exactly a chat, but the effect of several yes, I can explain is a bunch of people, one after the other, going, explain, 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 please explain, okay, explain, explain, explain.
Some portion of my attention hereafter is devoted to me explaining.
Sure, yeah. Gorister is like, yeah, well, all body parts take some amount of care and feeding, but well, blood is interesting in that it's not usually a coolant, but that's kind of how we're using it in this limb, because you don't really have like a fleshy core, you know, so we're going to be essentially interrupting your coolant system at the point where the joint is, and instead circulating the blood, we're going to house, you know, in part of the transition, the reservoir where the blood can be oxygenated. So if you want to sneak around, just be aware there will be a small fan whirring in your forearm at all times on the left side, at least if you want to keep the hand alive.
All right. How long can it go without the cooling if I need to go into stealth mode?
He looks thoughtful, and Cato, if you're paying attention to this, you...
I'm carefully sharing but not sharing too much, so I'm definitely paying attention. I was taking notes as Gorister was going through all of that.
Yeah. You reflect on the fact that, yes, you did get him briefly enrolled in medical school, but it was only, like, two long weekends, so there's not a lot you know, there, and you're curious about this answer, and Gorister goes, minutes, I think, at best.
All right.
I don't know. I'll try, like, sitting on my hand later and tell you and report back.
Excellent.
Flesh parts don't typically do great without blood flow. General rule.
Yeah, and we're kind of winging it. You know, the tissue is going to expect things like, I don't know, fucking platelets and shit that you're just not going to be able to produce. Fortunately, like a lot of the station's blood supply actually comes from like synthetic blood. It's kind of pricey, but less pricey than getting it hauled up from Earth. And there are donors here, but not at the scale that we would need to keep hospitals supplied. So, we'll see what we can do, certainly, but you're going to have to come in pretty frequently just for checkups for a little while. Hope you don't mind. He glares at Kato.
Hey, we're kind of in uncharted territory here, but it's exciting. This then over to Bronwy. We've got a new project.
She nods slowly and says, yeah, I see. I'm not
you
sure.
Recover. I will explain when and only when you want me to.
She nods again. She says, I am curious. I'm also a little disturbed, trying not to make assumptions. But, well, fiction is powerful and it doesn't like this thing, this sort of thing very much. But that's a reflection of society. And yeah. I don't like society that much, so.
It's kind of the point.
Keep an open
pretty
mind.
Much the conclusion I'm assuming all the best people are going to come to. And if you're concerned, it was ethically sourced, farm to fist.
Also, pipes up a speaker. I think this makes you a vampire.
The blood must flow.
Gorister shakes his head and goes, well, it makes your left hand a vampire anyway.
The left hand of the Prince of Dark. I don't know. If only we knew someone who'd be impressed by this premise.
If only.
I wiggle my eyebrows at Aang like Groucho Marx.
if you're close enough, you can hear a server sound as you wiggle your eyebrows.
Did not hear that when you did that on camera just a moment ago.
Hopefully it's on my track.
Oh, no. I heard yours, but when Drew genuinely did the eyebrows, I did not hear the servos.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm sorry.
I think what I could accomplish in real life with servos.
So Gorister runs down the remaining kind of notices and caveats. Apatia, for her part, is like locked in on this process. She's sort of staring very avidly at hand, where it is set to one side, awaiting transplantation. And one of her legs is kind of like bouncing jitterily in nervous and excited energy. Cal, where are you headed after you leave PSSHQ?
That's a great question. Because I'm deciding how bad to be. I am likely going to take a circuitous route and head back to the frontispiece. However, as a player, I'm curious about how PSS handled the distribution of their vehicles.
Good.
That's a
question.
Lot of vehicles and no bodies to drive them. Yeah.
Exactly. They're probably going to be surplused, but that means if one goes missing.
Well, it didn't come up in your conversation with Sean Howard. You would. Your best guess, based on the interactions that you had, is that they are likely to either be transferred to other IMX divisions where they might be useful, or auctioned. But you know, it's hard to say for sure. You do know where they would be kept.
Yeah, I know where they would be kept. however, I don't think it's worth the risk reward ratio here is a little imbalanced. Okay. So I just take a route back to the frontispiece, being sure to kind of make it seem like I'm going back to my apartment. Mm-hmm. Then doubling back when I'm pretty confident I've masked my trajectory and don't see any IMX drones around. Yep. I do send Ramirez a text saying PSS is dissolved. Weird desktop background.
You get a delivery error on the text.
Hmm. Fantastic. Go back to the frontispiece.
Sure. Let's see. You probably walk back in at about the time that Gorister is starting to loosen the panels that will allow him access to Aang's like forearm and wrist area. You see pretty clear, like pretty immediately, Bronwyn is present and seems to be like scrolling some news while she alternately sips from one mug and another. Apatia is sort of watching the, you know, everything Gorister is doing very avidly. Burn is not in evidence, seemingly having been, you know, closeted in the hacker space.
Secreted, perhaps, never closeted.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. You know, words being multivalent as they are, and Cato, you know, doing some stuff online, but sort of holding court over it all. Nick?
Yeah, I reach my hand out towards Apatia, just offering it moral support.
Yeah, she takes it without actually looking over, but, you know, sort of like with a fair bit of vigor. Cal, as the door closes behind you, your Augvert goes off, but it loads a 404 page not found graphic and makes this sound.
I punch it.
It goes, and then it's just the graphic and not the noise.
The graphic disappears.
Big improvement.
Well, that's an interesting bug. That's going to have to be fixed.
Gorister, without looking up from what he's doing, goes, you'll have to make an appointment, I think. Ah, shit. Who the fuck made your arm? Not this sure. Is directed at Aang.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was directed to Cal for some reason.
No, it's because it was yeah, Cal's arm that was making the advert. I realized. Yeah. Yeah. Realized after the fact that it was unclear. But yeah, this is directed at Aang because he's working on your arm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Omnidyne, I think.
Gorister says there's the fucking course. The fucking hacks. God damn it. And he grab some wire clippers, which is a little disconcerting because you don't have that many wires inside you. A lot of this stuff has to be solid state. He says, all right, this may feel weird. I don't know what it's like to be an android, but I'm going to have to sever some connections the hard way here in order to have access to the pieces that I need in order to disengage the whole thing from your endoskeleton, armature, whatever you want to call it. Fucking... this was not made to be modified, so expect some discomfort.
Yeah, understood. And just be aware that a lot of it's probably a custom prototype. There may be some deviations from the typical schematics.
He gives you a flat look and goes, oh, yeah, well, thanks for forewarning me. He gives a meaningful look at the plating and cowling that he has taken off of you already. After a beat, he goes, all right, look, I am not one to pry, so, you know, I don't want the whole story, but I just need to know, how likely is it that there is something inside of you that will detonate or electrocute me if I fuck with it?
Better than even odds.
He sags. Looks over his shoulder at Cato and goes, boss, do we do hazard pay?
For you today, yeah.
Cool. Bronwyn looks up and goes, what the fuck is he doing?
It's was really the not. Yeah, go for it. Sorry.
Was the procedure not said in front of Bronwyn what was about to happen?
Most of it, no. I mean, I think she gets the like general idea that there is a part replacement going on for an organic part, just that does not then entail that there would be explosions or electrocutions on the table. Because keep in mind, I don't know how long it's been since we had this on air, but Bronwy, her like main gig is designing and at least partly fabricating augmented parts.
Yeah, I think I'm going to remain silent at that and look elsewhere.
Apatia picks up the slack then and looks at Bronwyn and goes, oh, well, Aang is very unique. And it's possible that someone at some point wanted to safeguard that uniqueness. And she pats the back of your hand with the one that's not holding it.
Aang nods.
That is excellent phrasing.
Yeah. Bronwyn looks a little nonplussed and says, Look, I promise I'm not a mad scientist or a mad spiritualist for that matter. But if you're willing, I would love to just rummage around, in your design for a little bit. I'd try to make it worth your time, but I don't have that much money. So just, I guess, know that going into it.
I'll consider that.
She nods. More than fair. She polishes off the non-water mug and sets it down on Gorister's workbench to a drawn breath from Gorister. And then starts sipping from her water mug as she sort of seems to relax fully for the first time since she entered. This state of affairs is going to be ongoing for a while. This is going to be an hours-long project for Gorister, and Bronwy is very much in recovery mode. So I imagine that we're going to get some of Burn exploiting that back door into PSS very shortly. But if there's anything else that we're going to be getting up to in the meantime.
In the meantime, in addition to making sure the mugs are filled and all of that, to the degree that Bronwy wants them to be, I've definitely been checking in and seeing if anybody in the Fixer Network, I should say, I've explained the basics. You know how when you put a mechanical part into an organic body, there's new maintenance to learn. What about the opposite of that? And sort of felt out what people's reactions might be. I imagine some are rather negative. Those who are amenable to a real conversation. Yeah, I'm sure pure confusion is on there. But this is a group where nobody's going to go blabbing. They may simply think I'm a weirdo, which you to know, be fair, low-key is not a problem for me.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, you have... Yeah. Worked somewhat hard at establishing your reputation as a weirdo with this group.
I was going to say, I wouldn't mind a bit if I'm perfectly honest with myself. So that all being said, you know, if someone planned to DM me and or whatever and talk about where one gets blood, synthetic or organic, I would be eagerly awaiting such a missive.
The first response, almost just like 30 seconds after the general conversation kind of wraps up. I figure I view this as being functionally, in terms of interface on your end, an IRC chat room, but like
picturing too.
Technologically, yeah. It is actually kind of asynchronous. Not everybody is seeing what everybody else is saying. Mm-hmm. Some are, some aren't, like the different little like overlapping groups, you know, sort of have like an alchemy to them. You're used to navigating it. I'm not going to try to represent it on air because it would be laborious and pointless. But yeah, it is asynchronous and, you know, sort of like overlapping circles of messages would be the way I would put it. But the first truly like direct message you get only maybe 30 seconds after the sort of general, you know, clamor dies down. I think I mentioned in a recent episode a contact of yours, HF, sends the somewhat worrying message, does it have to be human blood?
Honestly, that is not the most worrying message I could imagine being sent.
Certainly not.
I think when I can find an opportune moment, I do ask Gorister this to the degree that he knows, since he rattled off a whole lot. If it can be synthetic blood, presumably it doesn't have to be human blood. But then again, synthetic blood is synthesized to simulate human blood. So yeah. I ask the question.
He finishes what he's doing, sits up, turns and looks at you and goes,
what I ask I should add, I call him Doc. Please continue.
So, okay, he puts down his tool, he sighs loudly, and then turns and looks at you. And he says, the closer to human blood it is, the better. It would need to be, at the very least, mammalian blood, preferably primate.
Very helpful. Thanks, Doc.
He goes and goes back to what he was doing.
Yeah, I convey this in the chat that human or something that functions identically to human would be ideal, and establish the hierarchy thereafter if that's not doable.
HF responds with a little frowny face and says, too bad reptile blood won't work.
Let's put a pin in that for... I honestly can't tell you when, but thanks anyway.
Now Adam must engineer a scenario later in the campaign.
Must is a really strong word.
Has the grand opportunity to.
Chekhov's much better, much better. Sanguinated iguana.
If there's a dry iguana on the mantelpiece.
Dry iguana is going to be my shoegaze band.
Shit. It just keeps getting better.
Assuming that all the messages I get are about that helpful, we can probably move on to the final.
Yeah, you don't get anything enormously more helpful than that in the near term.
Okay.
Is what I'll say here.
Both in and out of character, though, I'm quite under tape.
So. Cal.
I am doing what can only be termed as brooding in the corner of the frontispiece. I am making it a productive brooding session. I have my phone out. I'm messaging Ramirez on every contact line that I have, including his wife's number. And then also going back to browse Hunter, since that is, I need money eventually.
Allegedly.
So the only Ramirez related number that just bounces is his personal cell that you had been messaging before. But the other numbers of contacts, like his wife, people, you know, close to him, those messages do go through, but you don't get responses in anything resembling a, like, timely fashion. I guess this is my way of saying, I will let you know if and when you get a response to one of these. Mm-hmm. In terms of browsing Bacon, actually, are you browsing just Bacon or are you browsing Hunter in general?
Yes, good catch. I am browsing Bacon and looking to see if any particular cases tickle my fancy.
Sure. I mean, we talked about a couple of PSS folk that were on there, and now they're former PSS folks, so that's kind of tempting. Otherwise, it's a little frustrating. The listings currently are heavily weighted to the other end of the station by where, like, government buildings are. You know, there seems to be maybe kind of a ongoing issue with security forces in that area, separate from what you've mostly been working with here. But, you know, a hunting trip out that way could pay dividends.
Mm-hmm. The brooding continues.
I'm brooding. I'm gonna make a little. I'll make a little roll for myself here, very quickly, just to entertain myself for exactly what you find here. You are just timely enough in checking Bacon to see a listing that was put up about a 90 minutes ago for Lou Tupper get taken down. Which gives you, a brief bitter chuckle.
Mm-hmm. Damn. If only I'd known, could have made some cash off of it.
To be fair, at that timeline, Tupper probably died about 20 minutes before the listing was put up. So,
yeah,
it's fuzzy.
In a better world than this one.
Mm-hmm. Would be very funny if it had been put up by the android assassin.
That would have been pretty funny. Burn.
Yes.
What do you want to do with your new toy?
All of that, huh?
Step one, make sure that there's nothing like logging or otherwise compromising Rodriguez's computer other than me. Step
roll hacking.
I mean, step one, roll ghosting.
I tend to take the two together, but
fair.
You're not wrong. So for you, if you're following my instructions for hacking, that's going to be what, a plus 8?
Yeah, so that's a 17.
Okay. You establish your connection. Go ahead and give me a ghosting, which is also plus 8.
Yep. That is a 15 only.
Okay. You are inspecting the sterility of the environment, so to speak, and you don't immediately, but before you actually do anything with your access, do detect. Your first thought is spyware, but then...
Employer spyware?
Well, that's your first thought. But as you sort of that's right. You said Rodriguez, it's Ramirez.
Ramirez, yes.
Yeah. Burn, your first assumption is that this is employer spyware. But as soon as you take a closer look at it, you realize, no, actually, this is several layers beneath the OS kernel. Like, this is not a market available suite of spyware. The options that you think are viable for the origins of this spyware are an Earth government, station government, or potentially, maybe, possibly less likely, like a Black Ops PMC.
Can I determine what it is looking for without tripping it, do I think? Or does it already know I'm there?
It will have logged remote access, but you don't think by this point that it will have been able to determine who or where.
Okay.
If you take further action, it probably will. You're unable to determine without taking further action whether or not it will log that locally, or it will immediately send it off to wherever it is tethered to.
I burn the connection to the ground. And immediately march out into the open. But on assuming I've picked up that Cal is present.
Presumably, yeah.
The brooding in the corner, so it depends.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
The augment probably is, if not the noise of the brooding. The augment certainly gave it away.
Totally.
The augment only happened once.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when Cal had a laugh, so presumably you heard it and heard it shut off. So.
Or shut it off.
That was what I meant by it only happened once.
Mm-hmm.
There is government-level spyware on that man's computer. Like, not IMX, probably not even Black Ops PMC, like full station or Earth government spyware.
Huh.
Shit.
Well, that explains a lot.
I burned that connection, but thank you for setting it up.
Did you get anything useful before you burned it?
I mean, that information in itself is...
It would have logged... Useful. Well, it likely already logged the remote access. I would not have been able to get whether it was storing that log remotely or locally without taking action that would have triggered it logging where the remote access was coming from. I am fairly sure that it did not get the location that the remote access was coming from.
Oh, Ramirez knows my deal.
Do you know Ramirez's deal?
I just thought he had the context I needed to get here and get my revenge.
So no, you don't, is what I'm hearing.
Bronwy, from where she has been mostly silent, drinking water for 20 minutes, goes, fuck, I thought this place was less surveilled than mine.
Probably still is.
She shrugs.
We've got the finest and most aggressive countermeasures in the business, if it's any comfort.
No, a little. We don't, because you won't let me put lasers in the walls.
We have the third or fourth finest countermeasures in the business. The finest and the third or fourth most aggressive. No lasers. We've talked about this.
Fifth by my accounting.
But it could be so good.
We'll revisit the laser question when I don't have to pay Gorist or Hazard pay.
Gorist raises a middle finger at the room in general, while continuing fine. To make the fine adjustments required to removing's hand. Bronwy, for her part, finishes her water and goes, lasers, lasers, lasers. Like tasting the word.
Yeah, you know, light that can cut shit and set it on fire.
I don't have a firm conception of how powerful a power supply you would need to have hooked up to those lasers to make that happen. But it seems
that just be tapping into utilities.
she makes more or less that chuckle sound.
Nothing says inconspicuous like half the block having a brownout every time we intercept an intruder.
No, it would be going constantly.
I face palm aggressively in the corner before pulling out my phone and continuing to browse.
Bronwy puts her hands over the back of the seating she's on, which means that she's actually touching several parts of Gorister's workspace, much to his consternation, and throws her head back and says, my friend Heather would really get a kick out of this.
Bit of a laser enthusiast?
Security enthusiast.
It's a good kind of friend to have.
Bronwy looks around and says, nobody's recording this, right? And she gives a meaningful look at Burn.
Not if you can set up an introduction.
She chuckles. She goes, maybe. She considers for a moment, looks into her empty brandy mug and holds it out to Cato. Sorry. Brandy-esque mug. And holds it out to Cato.
Brandy or something. It returns filled in short order.
She takes a swig of it and goes, look, Heather runs a... Smuggling is an ugly word, but I can't think of a better one because I've been drinking. A reptile procurement system on station.
I was wondering if it was the H lady.
She's real interested in security.
She seems to have many interests.
That's an accurate description.
Reptiles.
Also an accurate description.
As this conversation is occurring, I move and put the give a shit block on the front desk.
Beats hang in there, baby, I guess. Where'd you get that?
Ramirez's desk. While I was cleaning up my things.
I take a bug sweeper to it.
It's just a wooden block with give a shit written on one facet of it. It's got like irregular polygonal sides to it. There's probably a name for the three-dimensional shape that it makes, but I don't know it.
Sure.
I literally never took geometry in high school.
Wild.
The closest I ever came to being an attorney was arguing that I didn't need it to graduate.
Hmm.
How to tell that you're a humanities kid.
Hey now.
Very true.
My legal education started with the humanities.
Also very true.
This is absolutely not a dig at the humanities, just that, you know, finding a linguistics-based way to avoid taking math is, you know, not in the pocket. Yeah.
I would like to move to vote to bring someone else in the fold.
Ramirez?
No. We're going to need some more muscle, I think. Our mutual friend, I look at Burn, might be an asset.
Agreed.
Her name's Tama. She has civilian military experience. Already assisted with some of the drones out front.
Specifically, the drone out front.
Well, I don't know anything about Tama, but I do trust your judgment. So this is a yes for me.
Thanks, kid.
Can't argue with the need for muscle. I'll admit, I thought you were going to say that we should bring in an expert on security and or iguanas, but I guess that can wait. It's a yes for me.
I'm not opposed to Heather, and if you need security, you have me.
Look, we're probably going to end up fighting. I'd also like to avoid fighting as much as we can, and not just for the same reasons as Ing, but because we can't win against, like, everyone.
True. So, we're in agreement then? It's fine to call Tama here?
Yeah.
Bronwy somewhat buzzedly goes, is she hot?
I haven't noticed. I'll pull up my phone.
Sounds kind of like a yes.
Bronwy giggles to herself. By this point, Ing, and to the degree that it's worth addressing with someone who doesn't have an independent player here, Apacia, Gorister has finally finished disconnecting the mechanical left forearm. It's not exactly at the elbow. It's a little bit below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, oh, that was a fucking chore. Shakes his head.
Well done, though. You still got all your fingers.
Yeah, thankfully. Next step, he picks up the sort of vessel that Hand is in and moves it to his workbench and goes, here goes nothing. And starts twisting some of the relatively scant wires in your forearm together, as well as sort of soldering some connections on the solid state bits.
To get my mind off of things, say, by the way, Cal, how are you feeling about separating from PSS?
I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
It's always a matter of when, but not if. I was brought here to essentially help take down Lou, get dirt on PSS, monitor security else around the station. Go after my list.
List?
Everyone who had a hand in Maddie.
Oh.
Cal is being offered a mug.
I haven't had a drink since 96, kid.
Fair enough.
Come to think hand it
we'd
back.
Never really, we'd never really discussed it. Didn't mean to. Sorry.
It's all right. I appreciate the thought. I could use a drink, but I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, things have been going pretty good since 96, so I can see why you would want to mess with success. I say this with what is hopefully a friendly smirk.
Well, that's the last part because I was too busy laughing.
Yeah, I didn't hear it either.
Wouldn't want to mess with success.
Yeah. I sip from the mug and give what is, I hope, a very friendly smirk.
I look like I might want to glare in your direction, but realize you almost see the words naive optimism flash across the back of my eyes. And then I choose to go gentle on you and not glare in your direction.
I choose to believe that we are bonding.
I like to pretend that you grinned even more widely at that belief.
100%, 100%. Yeah, the smile spreads.
The corner of my mouth quirks up a little bit.
I look at the hand that's still connected and seem surprised for a moment that's still holding Apacia's hand, disentangle it and reach out for a mug and say, this Brandish, it's the gazpacho of Lycus. You don't microwave it at all.
He's becoming very cultured very quickly. Yes, indeed. A mug is produced.
These are probably mismatched mugs. This one is a G-pole mug from some class or other.
Gorister intercepts the mug and puts it in your other hand and goes, don't move it.
So, clarification, other hand. Yes. So I was reaching out with the hand that's not been messed with.
My understanding from the specification that it was the hand holding Apacius was that it was the hand that was being messed with. So if that's my misunderstanding, apologies.
He was shocked he was still holding her hand.
So hand that's being severed is free and has been free. I was reaching out to Apacia with the other hand for emotional
support. My understanding was that Apacia would have been more inclined to hold the hand that was being severed. So,
oh wow, that's dark. I like it.
Yeah, well, that's Apacia for you.
Yes.
Glad to get the clarification.
I love Gorister comment retracted. From support to disappointment to support again when she realizes which hand you're offering. Like, that's kind
of so yes, you reach out for the mug and taste some brandy-esque as Gorister works on the other hand.
Licorice,
yeah. It is structurally still connected, but it is disconnected from anything that would allow you your motor functions.
I see. Yeah.
And so okay. Gorister is currently working to disconnect the sort of more static elements without cutting anything.
I see. Thank you. Yeah. So it's not yet severed.
Yeah, it is. It is disconnected from your perception and from any functionality, but it is not totally detached yet.
Yep. Okay.
I do at some point text Talma coordinates to the back door, the frontispiece.
Okay. So the last message you had from Talma was the salute emoji. You text Talma coordinates for the back door of the frontispiece, and you get three salute emojis.
Adorable. I also send the whatever contact numbers I have of Ramirez's that are not bouncing. I send some sort of government, really, with a pondering emoji.
No immediate response, but we'll follow up when appropriate. It is at about this point that Gorister finally finishes detaching the last bit of structural anchoring on your hand, Ing, and breathes a huge sigh of relief at not having been electrocuted or exploded in the process.
I congratulate him on his luck.
He glances over his shoulder at you and goes, "Fuck you, this is all skill." Puts the hand on his workbench.
Sure thing, Doc.
And then he goes, do you want the hand I just took off, or am I, like, good to sell it to discreet buyers?
I think that a resale will be in order. Just not quite sure the forum to do that just yet. So I'm interested in your network or where you sell it. It's a very strange feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Are you sure you don't want to hang on to it? Just because it's your hand. I mean, it doesn't seem like something we should sell.
Yeah.
It's also a unique construction.
Could attract attention.
I mean, if we were trying to get what it's worth, we'd want it to attract attention. The hand that took down Kumiko. But that might attract unhelpful attention, too.
Bronwy goes, "Wait, what?"
"Nothing."
I look down and away.
She looks from Burn to Ing, from Ing to Burn, from Burn to Gorister, and goes, "Right, never mind."
"Thank you."
Thought we already voted her in, but yeah, never mind.
I look to Ing on that.
This one's definitely up to Ing.
I reluctantly nod.
I give a summary, and I make it mercifully short for Ing's benefit.
Yeah. She goes, "Holy fuck. I say I'd like to shake your hand," but she nods at the workbench where it's sitting right now. She says, "I guess I'll have to do that a little later."
Yeah. Rather not talk about it.
Fair enough. No, don't want to put you in a weird position, but you know, for what it's worth, thanks for stopping it.
Yeah, it's not something that I'm proud of. I'm glad for the result, I suppose, but violence is something that I hope to leave behind.
She nods slowly. She says, "I can respect that, but, hopefully we'll be able to talk about it at some point. In the meantime, take your time." Gorister goes, "This is all very sweet, but, are you ready to start the next stage, or do you want to, like, you know, I don't know what it's like not to have, like, muscles per se, but do you want to, like, get up and shake loose before we get into the next part?"
Nothing mechanically that needs doing, but I look curiously down the barrel of my own severed arm and then give a shrug and present the stump.
I grow pale in the corner and then pretend to look at books.
The patient has been looking at Gorister, but as you look down the barrel of the stump, she leans in and gives you like a little peck just below the temple, and murmurs into your audio receptor, "You're doing great."
Ing is incapable of blushing.
It's true, it's true.
But soon we'll have the blood to do so.
I look forward to many Ing's hand blushes.
I do, you know, proffer the severed limb to, you know, both Apatia and Bronwy for casual inspection, and then hold it in my other hand. And then I'll put it on the table.
Mm-hmm. Gorister goes. Actually, Gorister wears a wristwatch. It hasn't come up before, and it's like not uncommon, but like, you know, a lot of folks have like interfaces that they can check the time on other than a wristwatch. But he looks at his wristwatch and he goes, probably you can have this done before midnight, so buckle in. And then he sort of sits back and does something, Cato, you've never seen him do before, and you think it's probably sarcastic, but it's surprising nonetheless. He crosses himself. And then he leans back in, grabs hand, and moves it to his workspace as he gets ready to fix it onto in. Bronwy raises her mug in your direction and goes, this is some of the weirdest shit I've ever seen, but I'm into it. And Apatia looks at Bronwy and goes, I know, right? The procedure will continue apace, regardless, I guess, of what anybody else gets up to, unless, of course, they're like physically interfering with Gorister's work, which I assume nobody would do.
Certainly not interfering, but certainly intermittently transfixed by the process.
Sure enough. It is starting to get genuinely late, right? We started this episode in what I would call evening, and at this point, it's like well into night. I'm going to make a rule for Gorister, but then I'm going to allow whatever folks are getting up to sort of while all this is going on. So Gorister's role. Ing, Gorister is very careful in this process, but it is not painfully in a literal sense, but painfully in an emotional sense, slow. On a one hand, you appreciate the care that Gorister is taking. On the other, it is kind of excruciating in like a psychological sense that it's taking so long. Mm-hmm. Apatia, for her part, I haven't been good about keeping up with what she's been doing, but like where there have been idle moments and just chit chat, she's been participating, but she's kept some form of touch on your chassis throughout this entire process, whether it's resting a hand on your shoulder or on your back or on your arm as it's being worked on. Regardless of what else she's doing, she's been keeping some form of physical contact. Bern, I'm curious as to what you've been doing after you sort of scrubbed all of the PSS connection to Ramirez's terminal.
Brought out a deck of cards, started cheating at Bronwy again.
So she does refuse to bet anything worth anything.
Oh, no, on all this, of course. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, yeah. But she is interested in sort of the subtle ballet of dishonesty going on in the card game. You don't actually chat that much while you're doing this. Bronwy actually talks to Apatia, talks to Cato, talks a little bit to Aang, a little bit to Cal during this. But her focus is largely on the sort of cheap jousting that the two of you are engaged in. It's a conversation of its own kind.
Oh, yeah.
Cato, how about you?
Well, I'm going back and forth or going between, I suppose, among playing host, making sure everyone who wants a filled mug has one and anyone who doesn't want one isn't too awkward. Seeing if anyone else has opinions about blood that doesn't currently belong to iguanas or that didn't recently, and watching the process. I think I'm seeing if I can be useful and perhaps becoming a little bit itchy when I can't.
Sensing this, I probably reference the fact that I had to turn in my official gun and would be willing to trade you a taser for the one I entrusted to your care.
I think you'll get much more use out of it than I will.
This strikes everybody involved and everybody not involved but present as a pretty constructive trade. So, in a moment of relief to me as the GM, since you sort of quote-unquote purchased the gun at character creation, you now do have a gun again. And Kato, you have a taser, which you're a little more comfortable with. Not perfectly comfortable with, but less uncomfortable than you were with the firearm.
Yeah, update, this one I'll
as necessary.
Will do. Yeah, I'm removing the line item, a fucking gun, from my carried inventory. There was, of course, the stun gun that I hid away that Burn didn't want to think about anymore. So now he.
I think Burn, I took that one.
You did take
back.
That.
Correct.
That is yes. Correct. And then I acquired another
from sources unknown.
Yes.
Noted. So now I am in possession of one of the tasers of indiscriminate provenance. Got it.
I love indiscriminate provenance.
The good turn of phrase.
I also, I guess the other thing that I busy myself with is realizing how, figuring out how I'm going to embezzle the hazard pay. Because I had two cash in my own possession and already agreed to pay that to Gorister for the job itself. So, that's going to come out of the company coffers or have to wait as far as anything else I'd be paying him.
I think after the cash roll last time, you had one cash left and you paid him that to, like, quote unquote, double his pay for this particular job. The hazard pay is going to have to apparate from nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't he get another one from this session starting?
Gain two cash at the beginning of a mission unless you suffer economic shock. So until and unless another mission happens, I don't get more cash.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, you're looking to do some embezzlement.
I'll also eventually get cash from selling the information that I collected from.
That's correct. We have had a few sessions that have taken place on February 5th, so it's been slow in coming, but it will be coming, I promise.
Yeah, this has been a very sessionful day.
Pay some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that I'm looking for, you know, for our listeners, we're coming up to sort of time on our recording window. And what I really wanted from this session was to sort of just, like, get to the end of the day so that we can start, you know, on the next morning coming up. So I guess my question currently is, the procedure is ongoing on Ing's arm. But is there anything else any of our present players wish to accomplish before it comes time to turn in for the evening? It's been a big day.
I probably check in with Ing, pull my chair up next to the, I guess, wherever the procedure is occurring, and gradually nod off, arms crossed, typical repose of a security officer on duty, but dozing.
Love that.
Bronwy's also had a hell of a day, so I offer her my bed, and I can just sleep out in the shop if it comes down to it. If she wants to stay here, which she doesn't have to, but she's welcome to.
Yeah, she kind of does, is the thing, whether she says so or not. So I'm going to make a really quick roll. In responding to your offer of a place to stay, Bronwy sort of considers for a bit and then goes, "I don't want to, I guess, you know, assume or anything, but I think I'd like to stay here. I think I'd like to stay with you, if that's okay. I don't want to kick you out of anything, and I don't want anything in particular. I just, you know, company would be nice. And I mean, she's saying this where everybody who's in the back room can hear.
Yeah.
She's not being like coy.
Yeah, that's fine. You're welcome. And look, no pressure, no obligation, no nothing, just whatever you need.
She nods. She says, yeah, I think just, you know, after the day I've had, company would be nice.
We have plenty of that, as you may have noticed.
She smirks and she goes, yeah, that's one of the things I like about this place.
I start to snore.
Suspiciously.
I tell Bronwyn that I am recording the snoring.
Bronwyn gives you a sort of like small low down thumbs up.
Yeah, so I think when time comes to retire, you know, Bronwyn and I just sort of make myself available for conversation or whatever, and follow her lead.
Yeah, she accompanies you to your room, and the two of you sort of like the two of you lay down on your bed and chat for a bit before nodding off. Mm-hmm. Ing, it takes a while, but your new hand is eventually affixed, and Gorister sort of keeps you from moving it once the procedure is totally finished and says, hey, look, if you can do your maintenance cycle here in this posture, that would be great for your new addition. But, like, I don't know what it's like to be an android, so, like, I guess you get to decide, but, you know, it's going to be getting used to its new context for a couple of days.
Yeah, it's not normally a problem for me to stay exactly still, but I'm different now than I was at the beginning of this day.
Ain't that the truth?
So if the flesh can sit still, so can I.
He nods. He says, look, I'm going to go home. But he sighs like he's kind of in pain. He goes, but I'm going to leave you with my cell number so that if something happens, you can let me know. Look, I know you're not used to having meat. So, like, something happening in this case, you're not getting nerve transmissions from it yet. That's going to be a separate step a little later on. But if you notice any leakage or the pallor of the skin changing dramatically, that's a reason to call me. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm used to caring for it in its vase, but, you know.
He goes, yeah,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep well.
Man, I probably won't, but I'll try. He stands up and sort of like cracks his back a little bit and shakes his head and goes, I want this to work. So I'm going to regret saying this, but call me any time of day or night and we'll figure it out somehow. He waves to you and gives sort of like a little two-finger salute to Apatia, who has kind of been falling asleep where she's sitting, but sits up and goes, and gives like a bright wave to Gorister as he leaves. Anybody else have anything else before bedtime?
I'm busy sawing logs.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, bedtime already accomplished over there.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point in the night, I vaguely sort of wake up and remember to transfer some money into Gorister's account, and how I'm going to make that look okay in the books is a problem for tomorrow me. I go back to sleep.
All right. If there's only specific burn you're trying to get up to before turning
off. Nah. Possibly, like, vaguely looking into what the fuck that software was, but... Like,
yeah,
I would have to do so in a fashion designed to not attract attention from the makers of the software, and like, that's going to be a whole fucking thing.
Fair enough. We're going to rule that that's an ongoing project.
You're, yeah.
partway through it when you decide to turn in.
Cool.
So
you may hear my voice echoing in your memory annoyingly saying that the puzzle will still be there tomorrow and you'll do better with sleep.
So I feel like that's as good a point as any for us to wind down this session. We had a couple of really eventful ones prior to this. So sort of, you know, a session where everybody sort of settles in, figures out, you know, catches up, feels appropriate. So it's not exciting in the way that some of our cliffhangers are, but that's honestly a good thing, given that I sometimes force cliffhangers. And this is where we'll end our session of Dice Punks for this time. That concludes this session of Dice Punks. Thanks for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you'll all join us again next time. If you're hearing us now, then you probably know where to listen to this, but we can be found almost any place one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com, and on Tumblr and Blue Sky is at dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks at home, players.
Thanks for listening. May you and your iguanas have exactly as much blood as needed.
I appreciate you listening, everyone. Do you know who your friends are texting and what spyware they're keeping on their computer?
Thanks for listening, folks. And if you can, make sure that your computer is not surveilled.
Thanks for listening, folks. And I realize that I'm a bit late to this conversation, but can 100 adult men help one silverback gorilla find love again? Tune in to the Silverback Bachelor to find out.
And as the poet once said, I try to keep my eyes open. I am realizing this life and death are more precious than anything. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around to the admin stuff for a GPOL campus safety briefing with Officer Armitage. The music in this episode, Augment or Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their other work at the link in the show notes. Editing and our rad new cover art was done by Joanne, who's appeared in the podcast now and again. Check out her other work around the internet, where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics for DicePunks.com are by the one and only Officer Armitage Robin. Hardwired Island is by Paul Machevic, Freya Erling's daughter, and Minerva McJonda. You can find Hardwired Island at eden.h.io/hardwiredisland. Links to the system and authors can be found in the Punk Grimoire section of our website, dicepunks.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who you think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available for backers, including Patreon-only Discord, and access to the Dice Peaks after show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
Greetings, students. Hold on. Damn it, I'm not always great at recording over these. I got some help in finding this after Cato told me about your message request, and I thought you might want to have it. Officer Armitage, badge number A41214. Ramirez, do you copy? I'm following up on the report of the terroristic activity called in by that janitor. My professional opinion is that he's inhaled too much bleach, but we'll see if anyone or anything is actually living in this mop closet. Hey, this is Officer Armitage. I'm preparing to open the door, and I'd like nothing more than for this to be a brief, friendly conversation. Do you understand?
There's no need to come in. Everything's fine in here.
Right, kid. I'm going to open the door on the count of five. If you choose to run, you will get away from me. But there's a really agitated janitor just on the other side of the hall with a lead pipe and a clear desire to use it. If you manage to get past him, I already have backup on the way. I might be as cuddly as a cactus, but at least I'm kinder than those racists playing dress up in their daddy's clothes. All that to say that I'm your best bet if you want to head home with just a verbal warning. Got it?
Okay, you can come in, but just don't be mad. This was just a misunderstanding.
Good. Okay, on the count of five. 1, 2, 3, you're coming in. Oh, Christ on a cracker, what happened in here? Wonder if the janitor's angry. Why don't you step out of all of that and tell me why you're here with a scorpion? Ugh, how many drones did you bring with you?
Yeah, I got turned around looking for my metaphysics class. It starts tomorrow, and I didn't want to get lost on the first day. Ended up here. The janitor walked in and was pretty surprised and pretty angry. And then he turned the water on, I guess, to flush out the robot, he said. I think maybe he must not have realized I'm an android. I'm sentient. I'm not a robot. I'm just worried the water is getting into the circuits of all my friends here.
A student, right? All right. Well, let's protect your circuits, I guess. What's your name and what dorm do they have you in?
Ing. I'm in the freshman dorms, just in the freshman dorms.
Oh. The new one, Hargis? I heard it's nice.
Yeah, that's the one, Hargis.
So here's what we're going to do. You're going to cross your hands behind your back, and I'll make it look like you're wearing handcuffs. The janitor won't notice, but it'll keep him on his high horse and off my ass. I'll say I'm walking you back to the station, but I will get you to Hargis instead, give you a talk on being on campus buildings after hours, and brush this off as a misunderstanding. Deal?
Okay. Deal. Deal.
All right. Not a word to the janitor. He called you in for terroristic activity. Don't give him a reason to follow up on that with my superiors. All right, here we go. Yeah. You're right, sir. A real live one here. I'm taking him back to the station for questioning. PSS will be in touch if we need anything else. For whatever reason, there's a burst pipe down there that you might want to see to sooner rather than later, unless you want all the labs flooded. Okay, kid. You can relax a bit. Which way to Hargis?
It's over this way. I know the way from here, now that I'm oriented. Don't worry about me, officer, and thank you.
That's funny. There's no dorms that way, and there's not a Hargis Hall either. Made that up off the top of my head. I know a kid that's running scared when I see one, so my apartment is that way. I've got clothes that should fit you and towels to this whole wet kitten thing you've got going on is killing me. We'll get you cleaned up, work on an actually passable story. You can leave after that, or you can hunker down until the heat dies down.
Oh, thank you. I genuinely don't know what to say. Things haven't been very friendly around here. It's nice to run into someone nice.
I'm going to call myself nice. I said her name is Ing, kid. You can call me Cal.
Cal. Nice to meet you.
I'd say it's nice to meet you, Ing, but I'm not even supposed to be working right now. Tupper called me in. Just don't expect this to be a permanent arrangement, all right? I hope you got a laugh out of that last bit, Ing. Not a permanent arrangement, my ass. I don't know if whoever made you will ever respond with your birthday, but at least you have this date and a time and a choice of what to celebrate. Jeez. I know I'm not good at this. Keep secrets because I have to, but I'm trying to get better. And I'm trying to be more like you and choose peace, but I'm not good at that either. So, if you want to celebrate the day we saved each other, because that's the truth, kid, we can make it a thing each year. I'll even buy you a cupcake with a candle on it. Hell, I'll sing to you if you ask nice enough. May not always seem like it, but I care about you. I think I might actually love you and the rest of those bookstore nerds. Why should your creators, your parents, matter when we have that? When we have each other? I'll probably delete this and record something not disgustingly sappy tomorrow.